Bookstore and The Secret Garden.
Don't need no TV, I don't need no phone. Don't need no speedy car to get me home.
Welcome to Radio Monterey. We're live streaming on TuneIn or from the website at radiomonterey.com. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez, and this is Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. Each week, we host guests from the Central Coast of California to share their life experiences and perspectives. Archives from our shows are available as podcasts. You can listen either online or download them. And you can find them on a number of different places. So they're available on YouTube. That was the earlier shows. Certainly iTunes of late, and through going to the Pilgrim's Way website at pilgrimsway.com and clicking on Simple Life Radio tab. There's probably 45 episodes now to choose from. So I just want to let people know that's there. I look for people who have unusual and interesting life experiences to share. And today's guest, although she's very much alive, she's also died and come back. She was born in 1925, raised here, and has memories of big celebrities that have spent time in the area. She loves books and values story, and I had just met her today. We do have a mutual friend, Pauline Allen, who set this up. So I'm really happy to welcome Antonina. Welcome, Antonina.
Thank you, Cynthia.
It's nice to have you here. Now, tell me your last name. See, I only know your first name.
It's Antonina Hutchinson.
Hutchinson. Do you mind saying your age?
Not at all. I'll be 89 next month.
Wow, that's awesome. I understand you were born in the area. What specific area were you born in?
Monterey.
Oh, Monterey.
Mm-hmm.
And was it called, did we have an old Monterey or a new Monterey then?
Yes, it was the old Monterey up by the Presidio.
Wow. So how was it then? I mean, where did you go to school there?
Well, I was primarily educated in the parochial school system until the Monterey High School, because at that time, Junipero Serra only went up to the eighth grade.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that. So what year did you start at the Monterey High School?
That was, must have been 1940.
1940.
Yeah.
And so was the city very big, the city of Monterey back then? Were there businesses like we see today?
Not really. It was a quaint little fishing town, and the fishermen used to run this town and support it.
Uh-huh. Were there any fishermen in your family?
Absolutely. My dad and his two brothers had the three largest purse seiners on the peninsula, and they were called the North Star, Pacific Star, and the Western Star.
Uh-huh. And I bet you liked fish growing up.
Well, absolutely. That was that was the biggest industry on the peninsula.
Yeah.
In fact, we supplied, the Monterey Peninsula canneries supplied the whole country and even sent them to Japan.
There is a book that we sell in the bookstore at Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel that's been written about this area back in the day of the canning factories.
Mm-hmm.
In that time frame. And the book, I always thought putting it on the shelf, it was such an odd title. It's titled The Death and Life of Monterey Bay. And I just thought, man, they got that backwards. I'm not sure what he was thinking. But it turns out that in writing about the history of the Monterey Bay with the fisheries and the canneries so prevalent back then, that it actually was harmful to the sea life. And so over time, it's been restored, and actually the Monterey Bay Aquarium is physically located in what was at one time an old cannery.
Exactly. And that old cliche about the death and the life of the peninsula,
mm-hmm,
is so true.
What do you remember about that time?
I remember that when the fishing industry and the sardines were so plentiful, we all lived, my parents, we had quite a delightful life. And then when the fishing industry disappeared, a lot of the older fishermen lost their homes and their boats because there was a mini depression when the fish disappeared.
And so one of the things I have to ask you, Antonina, this gentleman, I can't remember the author's name. I'll find it. He talks about how there were accounts of the smell in Monterey.
Absolutely. In fact, Monterey was known by the smell, Carmel by the church, and Pacific Grove by the fish.
No way.
Yes, that's one of the old timers. They said, "Oh, you live in Carmel, yeah?
Oh, by the church.
By the church, or do you live in Monterey by the canneries?
Uh-huh.
And or do you live in Pacific Grove with the fish smell?"
Wow. And so when you were growing up in Monterey and it was still a little fishing village, it's kind of a grown-up question, but do you remember how many people were in the area, what the population was?
Oh, it was very small at that time. I would say around 2,000.
My goodness.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, because I was a little girl then.
Yeah.
Or a young person.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I think it started to expand when the fish disappeared. The military took over. And that enlarged the population considerably.
I would imagine. And so from your childhood, what would you say is your most precious memory growing up here?
I have to tell you a little private story then.
Absolutely.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The fishing purse seiners that my dad had and my uncles all had different horn sounds. And when they would be coming back from a large catch, because they would be gone between 20 and 22 days and come home during the full moon, because the full moon made the fish disappear deeper in the water and they couldn't be fished. So my dad, when he was coming into the harbor, he was going to come home for dinner before he cleaned up the boat and everything. So he wanted my mom to have dinner on the table at 6 o'clock. So she didn't recognize his boat coming in because we lived up on the hill by the Presidio, but we had a big deck in the back of the house, and mom always looked out there to see if the boat was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So finally my dad put a telescope on the back of the deck, so that when he blew his horn, mom was supposed to go out and see if that was his boat coming home.
And then put the dinner on the table.
And dinner would be ready for my father.
Oh, that's precious. Oh, my goodness. Well, it seems like our culture's really different now than it was then. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Say, for instance, when a young woman starts dating, how did that happen in your family?
Well, when we were of graduation age from high school, all of us girls, the military had established the USO at that time, and my mom would not allow us to go, because I had three sisters. They would not allow us to go to the USO because we realized later that had we met any of the young men that were in the military and marry, that we would be moving out of state when they were reassigned. And my mom would not allow that.
So she was pretty particular about where you ended up.
Yes.
You needed to be close to home.
She was a little selfish in that respect because she sort of limited our experiences at that time.
And was there a set of qualifications for a young man who wanted to court?
Oh, absolutely. We were supposed to only mingle with our own crowd, unfortunately. It did limit us, but we never realized that because that was the climate that we were raised in.
Of course. Well, I have to say, I was raised in a similar climate, although it was, you know, slightly different circumstance. So I can relate to what you're saying.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're going to need to take a short break here shortly. But when we come back, we'll have more conversation with Antonina Hutchinson. And I just want to mention a few things before we do go off to break and let people know that we've got a number of things going on at the bookstore, which co-sponsors this show, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden in downtown Carmel on Dolores between 5th and 6th. We don't have them yet up on our website, which does have an events page. So they're a little bit out in the future. I just want to mention, don't miss them. We have a local author, Alessandra Dremoff, author of Carmel by the Sea, The Early Years, which go from 1903 to 1913. She'll be there Saturday, June 28th from 1 to 3 in the afternoon for a book signing. So certainly mark that on your calendar. It's been written up in the local papers a few times. It's sort of new material, if you can believe it, just in terms of it being compiled. But we're going to go ahead and take that break now. You're listening to Radio Monterey, radiomonterey.com, live streaming or through TuneIn. Give us a shout if you'd like to hear something in particular or take a look at the archives through the website pilgrimsway.com. And we'll be right back with you with more Simple Life. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez. Stay with us.
People near and far have been coming to the Pilgrim's Way bookstore in Secret Garden for the last 45 years because they can find things here that they don't find anywhere else. What makes us different? We have great book recommendations. We have staff recommendations. We have the best quality selection. Custom orders come in as quick as the next day. We have curbside service. Make your purchase arrangements over the phone. You don't even have to look for parking. We'll run it right out to you. Hi, I'm Paul from the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. We are located on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel by the Sea. Pilgrimsway.com, like us on Facebook, or give us a call, 624-4955. Come on in, I'd like to meet you. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden.
Want to see?
Don't need no TV, I don't need no phone. Don't need no speedy car to get me home.
We're back from that break. Thanks for staying with us. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez, and this is Simple Life Radio. Our guest today, Antonina Hutchinson, is telling us about the yesteryear, the part of history that I've never seen here in Carmel. Born and raised in Monterey, Antonina has a lot of great stories to share. And Antonina, before we went to break, you were talking about what it was like getting ready to date in your family growing up. Having been educated in parochial school, I suppose things were pretty formal.
Yes, they were. And my parents exaggerated on that and were very strict, which were the nationale of all of the Italian people on the peninsula. We were raised pretty much all the same.
All the same. And so what were your personal attractions to picking a husband in the area at the time?
Well, I didn't have any experience with dating because we weren't allowed to, but I was fortunate enough to have one of the young men that was just inducted into the service, and he wanted to be engaged, and my father said, no, things happen. You will change. She will change. In the 4 years that you're gone, if you're still interested, you come and see us when you get back.
And so did he?
Yes, he did. And my dad's prophecy was correct. He was so different.
Oh, my.
He was injured badly, and he was not the same person. So we went our separate ways.
I bet you had a lot of appreciation for your dad at that point.
Well, being raised by him, I listened to what his advice was, which a lot of the young people don't do today.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. And so you did finally marry, I guess.
Oh, yes. I met this wonderful man that was the love of my life.
Oh.
And unknown to me, my mother met him first. And he was at his aunt's house, which lived directly across from where I was raised, up on the hill. And he was being discharged from the Navy.
Oh.
And he was staying with his aunt because the Naval School was discharging him here before he went back to Modesto, where his parents were.
Oh, I see.
And unfortunately, my mother had some kind of a... I was working at the time downtown, and she had some kind of a plumbing problem. And this young man's uncle was a plumber. So she ran across the street and asked him to come over to see what the problem was. But he wasn't home, but this young man was there. So she asked him if he knew anything, because her men, my father and my brothers, were out fishing.
Mm.
So there was no man there. So this young man went over, and lo and behold, he helped my mother correct that situation, and she invited him back for dinner that night. And when I came home from work, he was sitting there. And I said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "I'm your mother's friend." It was very awkward, but we couldn't understand why mother would invite a stranger when there were no men around.
Oh, my.
You know, to protect us, sort of. That was the way we were raised.
Oh, how funny. How funny. And you were married many years then?
Well, oh, yes, 28 years. He died, unfortunately, very young at 52.
Mm.
And but we had already built our beautiful home. And we had the two children. And he wanted four. He wanted two boys for him and two girls for me. But it never happened that way. So I still live in the family home.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. So was that during the time that you worked for the local phone company?
Yes.
And what was the name of that company? Because, you know, they change all the time.
Absolutely. At one time when I started, it was Pacific Bell.
Okay.
And then SBC, which was the Southern Bell Corp, took over, and then AT&T eventually took over, which I retired after 30 years.
Oh, and what was your role at the phone company?
Well, I started out as a repair clerk, and they sent me to their particular training school, and I became a line assigner, which assigned lines from our telephone equipment into the poles and into the homes. And then I became a designer, line assigner, which was the elevation for hotlines for security and the hospitals and the FBI offices and the Presidio at that time. We control their telephone.
Mm.
So I had an interesting career, and I enjoyed every day going to work, although some days I didn't want to. It was raining so bad, and those poor boys, I felt the installers up on the pole raining,
yeah.
You know. I really felt for them.
My goodness. So before the break, we also talked about, in the introduction, celebrity sightings. And I understand, was it your brother?
Yes, my youngest brother, the only young brother I had, was quite a handsome man, I have to say. He has since passed away. He was working in the construction business, and when Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton came to town, to Big Sur, they were filming a movie down there.
The Sandpiper.
The Sandpiper, correct. And they hired him as a driver, because Elizabeth Taylor had to go different places, and she didn't want to use the company designated with the logos and things on the car to be identified.
Right.
So he used a private car and got quite acquainted with her. And I have to say that when my mother was quite ill at the time, and she passed away, and we had to send the sheriff's department down to notify my brother that he should come home, because they used to stay down there and work. And Elizabeth Taylor was so sweet and kind that she sent him home with a whole truck, one of those refrigerated trucks, with food and breakfast rolls and sodas and things like that to accompany him in our time of distress.
Oh, what a sweet gesture.
Yes. Was very, very unexpected.
Now, we here in this beautiful, beautiful part of California have a lot of celebrity visits. People sometimes own second, third, fourth homes here. Certainly travel here to just kind of rejuvenate, maybe play some golf. Over the course of your lifetime, have you had any encounters with celebrities here?
Yes. When the Bing Crosby has started the golf tournament out at Pebble Beach,
yeah,
my husband became a volunteer, and we ran into quite a few
celebrities,
and he got acquainted to them, and we were invited to all of the social gatherings that they had after the golfing was over during the day.
Yeah.
So we met quite a few. Clint Eastwood was one of them, of course.
Now, that was before he was mayor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then he became mayor after that. It became after the Bing Crosby dissolved, it became the AT&T.
Right.
And that was when Eastwood got really involved.
Mm.
And that was about the time that he became the mayor in Carmel.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, so, I've seen Clint a couple times at Whole Foods in Monterey.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's quite a man around town.
I can't tell you how many times people come into our bookstore and they're looking for the hog's breath.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know that he used to own it. I mean, they believe he still owns it, and of course hangs out there to sign photographs or whatever, right. But yeah. Yeah, he's not there much.
No, he's more comfortable, I think, down at the Mission Ranch now.
Yeah, Mission
which
Ranch.
Which he owns, and we go to quite a bit.
Oh.
Because the food is delightful down there,
right.
And so is the piano bar.
Oh, I've heard about that. I've heard about that. So, interesting celebrity stories. Antonina, looking back at your life, would you say there was a time or a situation in particular that you felt was a really rewarding experience?
Well, excuse me. I can only remember that when my eldest sister passed away, most of the fishermen that used to fish with my father all showed up at the funeral, because she was the first of the Lonero family that had passed away.
Hmm.
And I guess in retrospect, they were paying respect to my father.
I see.
Because they all had known him for many, many years, and he had passed away also.
Hmm.
So
that was a particularly rewarding experience for you.
Yes, that they would remember that he was instrumental in keeping Monterey going with the fishing industry.
Yeah, yeah.
And his two brothers, of course.
And I'm guessing that was a very tight-knit community.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, you know, we're coming up on Father's Day.
Yes.
Maybe you can help us just visualize your father by telling us what he might be known for. What his friends and people close to him might really describe him as.
Well, a lot of his friends apparently valued his judgment, because when he was going to school, he was going to study to be an attorney.
Hmm.
In Italian, that was l'avvocato, the lawyer type thing. And apparently Dad understood a lot of the fishermen's laws and rules that they should go by. And some of the other men always came to him for advice.
Hmm.
And we enjoyed that.
So we kind of looked out for people and, and took care of the finer details that people needed to know about.
Well, my opinion is that as I grew older, I realized that he was one of the few honest, very strict people.
Hmm.
And he went by the rules, and I don't think he broke many rules in his lifetime.
So he was a real clear-hearted, very strong-minded, and wise father, would you say?
I guess so, yes. Yeah. That takes care of that.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And were there things that you would describe today as being challenging for yourself personally?
Oh, yes, I met many challenges. When my husband passed away, we had just built our beautiful home in Pebble Beach, and he died and left me with a 17-year mortgage.
Oh, my.
That I had to figure out how to pay off. And fortunately, I met some very good people that treated me and realized my background. And one of them was his doctor.
Oh, my goodness.
And he talked to me at different times and guided me and introduced me to his stockbroker. And then the mortician was another Italian man. And he used to play golf with my husband and our partner. And I think that they took me under their wing at the right time,
mm-hmm.
because I was floundering. You know, on a woman's salary, you lose the husband and you lose 2/3 of your income.
That's so true.
And I had a youngster in high school still. So, but we managed.
You managed. That was definitely a challenging time.
They were very good to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things that I hope is possible as a result of hearing folks like yourself share their life experience is that they can, basically share forward advice or principles for the rest of us who may not have gone through that exact same situation. And so my question for you, Antonina, is in the challenge that you just described, is there a lesson perhaps that you learned, or did you basically uncover something for yourself that you would be willing to share maybe for another person?
Well, I finally learned the value of the dollar, because up until that time, it hadn't been any problem. And then I realized that I have a roof to keep over my head and a youngster to put through college. And the dollar finally meant that if you save your pennies, the dollars will show.
Mm. Yeah. Those were the days.
Yes.
I'm not sure that really holds true today.
Well, it's
more
difficult.
You know, with pension plans disappearing and the stock market taking a huge crash,
mm-hmm.
and ever since then has been way more volatile. It's almost as if the rules have changed.
Well, and the youngsters today, I call them youngsters, anything under 25, is they have the challenge in the workplace because they don't seem to have either the willingness or the ability to stay in one job more than 3 or 4 or 5 years. I stayed in that same job for 30 years.
Well, you know what my experience was, is that the jobs that I worked for, the companies were sold.
Right.
And so it wasn't because I wasn't willing to continue working.
The downsizing and the elaborateness of the advances they've made today all contributes to that.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And it makes it hard on the young people.
You know, the other thing that comes into play, Antonina, with technology as it is today, where we literally carry, I carry a computer, a phone, mm-hmm. a camera, a recording device, a video mm-hmm. camera in my purse. With technology at leaps and bounds and growing ever faster, the things that we think we're going to need or that we have needed in the past, we don't necessarily need in the future.
Exactly.
A lot of the students that are going to college, by the time they graduate learning a particular expertise, it may not even be necessary in the workforce.
That's so unfortunately true.
Yeah.
Because our industry is going overseas, where they have the labor that is enormous, whereas our labor forces are getting elderly.
Yes.
And the young people don't have the industry jobs that they could have had, say, 30 years ago.
That's very true. Some people say we're heading back into a renaissance where, a particular individual would know lots of different skills and would have an aspect of art in mixed in with that.
Yes, those are the valued people. They get the choice jobs, and they go into the artsy type thing. But that is not going to have the labor that a lot of the young people are going to be forced into. It's not available.
It's an interesting time. I have to tell you, personally, I'm ever more appreciative of how my mother raised me with a garden in the yard, preserving things, canning things, just living more simply. I think we have the benefit now of education around recycling, reusing, basically reducing our waste. And I think maybe with all that's sort of topsy-turvy in the world, it can kind of rekindle that for people. What do you think?
Well, I certainly hope so, because speaking of gardens, my mom had a front yard that every season she had different flowers, and the Italian women that used to live up there in our neighborhood would always make sure, because most of the Italian women at that age didn't learn how to drive. Their husbands either wouldn't allow them or they didn't have time because they were out fishing. So the women did all the yard work as well as preserving the fruits and vegetables for the following seasons. And Mom had the prettiest yard. I remember seeing different flowers out there, and all the ladies would stop by and talk to my mom and pick a flower and take it with them.
How sweet.
Yeah, my mom was quite a matriarch of that neighborhood, you might say.
Well, it sounds like both your parents had their place in the community.
Yes, they did. They were very revered.
Yeah.
Which you don't get that too much anymore, because nobody even knows their neighbors half of the time.
Well, we don't live at home as much as we did in that time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mom was a stay-at-home mom, like most of the Italian women were.
But even, people traveling happens so much more now, and going other places for work or for entertainment.
Yes, and that's sad, too.
Yeah.
Really.
I remember when TV wasn't actually broadcasting all day and all night.
Right. I was telling my friend Pauline about the first gift that I remember. I was very young. But my dad brought home this huge radio, and it had this big, I'm trying to remember the name of the dog that was on it.
Oh, but the RCA dog?
RCA dog,
yeah.
Thank you. And it had this huge a cone type thing, and you had to wind it to make sure that you got the station.
Right.
But none of us kids were allowed to touch that, because that was Mom's gift.
Ooh.
And she, if we wanted to listen to the radio or the music, she loved Italian opera.
Uh-huh.
We would say, Mom, can we use the radio? And she would wind it up for us. And we would listen to it, and when we were through, she would turn it off.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like that.
That was luxury.
It was at that time.
I know. Well, you know, Antonina, we've got another break coming. Our guest in studio today, Antonina Hutchinson, has been just totally entertaining me with all of her life history, stories, and experiences. But we're going to need to take another break, so stay with us. We will be back shortly with more with Simple Life Radio. I'm your host, Cynthia Fernandez, and we have more to come. Hang in.
Simple Life is sponsored by Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and The Secret Garden.
Don't need no TV, I don't need no phone. Don't need no speedy car to get me home. Don't need no nothing.
And we're back. Our guest today, Antonina Hutchinson, is a local born and raised Monterey County since 1925. And we are just having a delightful sort of coffee table conversation together, aren't we, Antonina?
Yes, it's delightful.
So glad you're here. So I was wondering if you would be willing to just share with us what brings you the most joy in your life today?
Well, it's the accomplishment of what my parents did for us and what I am now able to do with my children.
Hmm.
And the children are turning out so well. And I watch television, and my heart goes out to all of these parents that they have troublesome children that breaks their heart. And we have not experienced that in our whole family.
Hmm.
And we have many, many children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so how do you spend your days? Do you have, let's see, do you play lacrosse or go horseback riding or?
Well, in my early retirement days, which I am going to, I worked for 30 years, and now next year I will have been retired for 30 years.
Oh, my.
And in that time, I took up oil painting. And I wasn't good at it, but I do have a few paintings at home that the kids enjoy. And I learned to play golf. And unfortunately, my husband wasn't here because he wanted to teach me when we retired.
I see.
And I've found some new friends that are single because I always felt like a fifth wheel, although the other friends always insisted I go with them. After I lost my husband, because I was the first in the crowd that lost my kin.
Mm.
And my life is now slowed down. I've had a few illnesses, but my children have come to my rescue. And here I am again.
And your children are very accomplished, if I recall.
Yes, yes. My son is a sheriff's deputy over in the San Joaquin Valley. I don't know if I should say that, but I did too late. And my daughter is the medical director for one of the wellness centers.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. And you have great-grandchildren.
Oh, my great-grandchildren, yes. I have 3 great-grandchildren and 5 grandchildren. So, and they're all in this area, thank you, God.
And the tradition continues.
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, school is just out this past Friday.
Yes.
And my granddaughter, who is 10 years old, has put together a bucket list for her summertime. Things that she wants to do before summer's over.
Uh-huh.
And so I was thinking, I wonder, I mean, I think it's a great idea to have a bucket list. There was actually a movie titled Bucket List with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I wonder if there is such a thing in your mind, things that you want to do before too long that have really been gnawing at you to do for some time, maybe travel or
write a
book with your memoirs?
I was fortunate enough that after I retired, my friend Evelyn lost her husband a year later, and so we paired off and we started traveling together.
How fun!
Which we were able to go to the Caribbean on cruises, to Alaska on cruises. And we went to Hong Kong and Japan, and I got to go to Australia and New Zealand. So I did do a little traveling, and but then I started to get sick. So I didn't feel that I was that I should impose on anybody else to make sure that I did this or that.
And sure, sure.
It would ruin their vacation, so
oh.
I stopped traveling myself. I had to give up driving 3 years ago when I became blind in one eye.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't feel secure anymore. So my daughter bought my Cadillac that we loved. It was so comfortable. She didn't want it at first, but her little car was shot, so she took mine.
She acclimated to the luxury and comfort. Well, I wonder, Antonina, you know, I ask a few of my favorite questions at the end of the show, and I wonder if you would be willing to share with us what kinds of things you would like to see happen in the future.
For my family?
However you want to answer it is totally up to you.
Well, I want them to have the good health that I had up to a few years ago, and to continue in the jobs that they liked, and to accomplish what their wishes are, and to keep their beautiful homes, and their children be healthy, and to make sure that they keep coming to my house to see me.
I bet you guys have big feasts when they come to visit.
You're right there. We do. This seems to be the local place that they enjoy.
Oh, nice.
And we did have a lot of big barbecues and family reunions, and all the holidays seem to end up at my home.
Oh, so. That's great.
Yeah.
That is so great. I wonder, I know that you have been an avid book reader probably most of your life, and now with your vision having been changed, probably don't read that many books, but I do want to ask you what your all-time favorite book is.
Well, my favorite author used to be Pearl S. Buck.
Ah.
I loved her style of writing, and I read almost all of her books that I could find.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I had to do a lot of reading for my job because it was all to do with maps and connections and things like that. And I think I enjoyed reading even after I retired because I had to do the due diligence with the stockbroker kept saying, read this, read that, and do this, and what do you think? And since it was a self-directed account, he didn't want to take responsibility, I guess. So,
well, it's important that they get you involved. Otherwise, you could say, well, you're the one that told me to do that.
So, but he's been very kind and very good to me. So I did enjoy reading up until a few years ago, but it's so difficult now. Anything important, I call my son, and he manages to take a day off and comes over, and he reads to me, and my dear friend Pauline, she reads to me, and anybody that comes to visit, I always have a stack of magazines with articles that are identified. I want them to read to me, and they're patient enough with me to do that.
What are some of your favorite subjects to read?
Well, a lot of them have to do with the financial and the world affairs. I am so sorry that's what's going on in the world, that they can't treat people in their countries like we are treated here. And of course, in some instances, it's not too good, but it's a lot better than what they have there. And it makes me sad to see the children go in those foreign countries that they don't have the medication or the food that they need to advance.
Mm.
It breaks my heart.
So you like reading the subject of finance and world affairs?
Yeah.
Anything else, or is that kind of...
I like to listen to opera music now.
Oh.
And it's on Channel 9. I enjoy that very much on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And every chance I get, I listen to that, but I also watch a few of the other talk shows.
I understand you like the newspaper, too.
Yes, I do.
You keep up with local events.
I do.
What's happening?
I watch the city council meetings because I feel that this is my town, and I want to know what's happening in it, even though I don't have any say in it. But I keep up with things like that.
Mm-hmm. So looking back over your life, is there anything that you might do a little differently here or there?
The only thing I would do would be if I had the foresight to keep my husband alive.
Oh,
that would
of course.
Be the only thing.
Of course.
The rest of it, I take it as that's what I was supposed to do.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, it has been a delight to speak with you today. I'm so pleased that you were able to come into the studio and share your life experiences with us here on Simple Life Radio.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. If it hadn't been for my friend Pauline, I wouldn't have even known about it. But I do enjoy this. This is a wonderful experience.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. And who knows, maybe we'll have you back for part two.
Well, there's a lot more to say.
Well, I want to tell our listeners about some of the other things going on at the bookstore. So before we run completely out of time, let me just mention that we have several book signings coming up in the bookstore. And we've kind of taken the month of June off with all the business with graduation and everyone anxious to get out and travel and do vacation. So our very next event, I already mentioned, Saturday, June 28th from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. It is a local author book signing with Alessandra Drumov, author of Carmel by the Sea, The Early Years, and it spans from 1903 to 1913. And then the very following weekend, July 5th, we'll be hosting another local author, Harvey Kraft, whose book is titled Buddha from Babylon. And it's getting a little bit of local interest. I know he's been interviewed in the papers, and so you might have seen something on that. Every Sunday now, you can come on down to the Secret Garden and find me potting away, designing succulent gardens and doing demonstrations in the Secret Garden with how to work with succulents and, letting people know about the different types of plants and how to combine those. And it's been a lot of fun. It really has. There's a lot more activity in the garden now, I can tell you that. And we do have a monthly tracking club that's really been growing. It is so fun. If you don't know about it, we meet on the first Sunday of each month, and we have a grand old time out of doors. It is a free event, and we meet in Marina at the Ord Market, usually, right on Imgen. And that meets at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we go until about 10 or 11 in the afternoon. So we've got a lot planned going on in the bookstore and in the garden. Right now, there's a sale at the store. We're selling at a discount of 25% off the crystal specimens that we have in the bookstore. And then our jewelry is up to 50% off depending on how they're marked. So you can take advantage of that. If there's something you've kind of been pining away for, something you've been looking for, certainly gift-giving time in terms of graduation. I just helped a dad yesterday pick out a lovely necklace for his graduating daughter, and both of us were getting choked up. But it was a really sweet time with him. So keep that in mind. Again, if there's anything you're looking for, you can always give us a call. We have lots of requests that come in for custom orders. We have curbside service. Sometimes it's hard to find parking in Carmel. So we're happy to oblige. Just make your arrangements over the phone and we'll run it right out to you. You don't even have to find parking. And then in terms of this show, Simple Life Radio, you know there's been a change if you're hearing my voice now. We're internet only. We're not on the terrestrial radio dial. And that is going to be the case until, of course, it changes. And we are still running the shows through podcasts, keeping track of archives. So you can always find those. If there's anything that you're questioning or would like to hear, you can contact me, certainly through the bookstore. And if you want to drop me a line, simplelife@pilgrimsway.com is the email you could use. But we plan on staying on the internet radio just as long as we can, because we get so much out of these connections, people to people. And until then, I wish you a wonderful summer. I hope that it fills your heart's desire. I hope you choose wisely. And of course, I'll be with you next Saturday. Until then, keep it simple.
...2014 is here. Beautify your surroundings with help from Seaside Garden Center. Seaside Garden Center offers a large selection of outdoor plants and flowers, many grown at their 20-acre nursery near Salinas. In addition, they offer bulk bark, topsoil, organic soil, compost, plus boulders and fountains. When you drop by, the staff at Seaside Garden Center is always ready to help, or you can make an appointment with Mr. Morey for a design consultation. At Seaside Garden Center, they offer complete landscape design, installation, and maintenance through their sister company, Green Valley Landscape. Online, visit SeasideGardenCenter.com. Call 393-0400 or stop by 1177 San Pablo, just behind the Dollar Tree on Fremont in Seaside. Seaside Garden Center is open weekdays 7 to 5, Saturdays 7 to 4, and Sundays 9 to 3. Proudly serving the Monterey Peninsula by creating beautiful landscapes here and supplying plants and materials for over 30 years. Call Seaside Garden Center at 393-0400.